Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Canto 10, Chapter 23, Texts 43 and 44. We'll chant those texts and then I'll also read Text 45. Nasham dvijati samskaro. Nani vaso gurapapi. Natapo natma mimamsa. Najocham na kriya shubha. Tatapi uttama shloke. Krishne yogeshvareshvare. Bhaktir dridana chashmakam. Samskara dimatam api. Nasham dvijati samskaro. Nani vaso guravapi. Natapo natma mimamsa. Najo cham na kriya shobam. Tatapi uttama shloke. Krishne yogeshvareshvare. Bhaktir dhirana chashmakam. Samskara dimatam api. Nasham dvijati samskaro. Nani vaso gurapapi. Natapo natma mimamsa. Nashocham na kriya shobha. Tatapi uttama shloke. Krishne yogeshvareshvare. Bhaktir dhirana chashmakam. Samskara dimattam api. Natapo natma mimamsa. Najo cham na kriya shubha. Tatapi uttama shloke. Krishne yogeshvare shvare. Bhaktir dhirana chashmakam. Samskara dimatam api. Asam dujati samsara. Namaso ravati. Natapo natma mimamsa. Tatavi uttama shloke. Krishna Vishnu Vishnu Bhakti Vidana Kasmakam Samskara Jimatam Api. The ladies? Asamvijati Samskara Anivaso Gravati Onani Vamsam Naso Cham Jnapiyashiva Tatapi Uttama Shloke Krishne Yogeshwari Shwari Bhakti Dhirana Chasmakam Samskara Dhinatam Api. Na, there is not. Asam, on their part. Dvijati Samskara, the purificatory rituals pertaining to the twice-born classes of society. Nor. Nivasa. Residence. Guru. In the ashram of the spiritual master. That is training as a brahmachari. Api. Even. No. Tapa. Execution of austerities. No. Atma mimamsa. A philosophical inquiry into the reality of the self. No. Shocham. Rituals of cleanliness. No. Kriya. Ritualistic activities. Shubha. Pious. Tata api. Nevertheless. He. Indeed. Uttama shloke. Whose glories are chanted by the exalted mantras of the Vedas. Krishna, for Lord Krishna. Yoga Ishvara Ishvare. The Supreme Master of all the Masters of Mystic Power. Bhakti, pure devotional service. Drida, firm. Na, not. Cha, on the other hand. Asmakam, of us. Samskara adi matam, who possess such purification and so forth. Api, even though. Translation and purport. These women have never undergone the purificatory rites of the twice-born classes, nor have they lived as brahmacharis in the ashram of a spiritual master, nor have they executed austerities, speculated on the nature of the self, followed the formalities of cleanliness, or engaged in pious rituals. Nevertheless, they have firm devotion for Lord Krishna, whose glories are chanted by the exalted hymns of the Vedas, and who is the supreme master of all masters of mystic power. We, on the other hand, have no such devotion for the Lord, although we have executed all these processes. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, The husbands were not aware that their wives had occasionally associated with the residents of Vrindavan, such as the flower ladies, and had heard about the beauty and qualities of Krishna. The Brahmins were astonished at their wives' loving devotion for Lord Krishna, not realizing that this devotion had developed as a result of hearing and chanting about the Lord in the association of his pure devotees. I'll just read text 45. Indeed, infatuated as we are with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now, just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple cowherd boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. Om Agana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmaye Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagarjacham Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prichana Setam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakandikam Shah Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwere Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanshakopa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishneva Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So in this verse and purport in the previous verse, it's indicated three very powerful activities were performed by the wives of the Brahmins. These are the association of pure devotees, hearing about Lord Krishna and chanting about Lord Krishna. So these activities were the source of their great advancement, and they are the recommended process for every devotee. And somehow or other, their husbands were unaware that their wives had performed such important activities. So they couldn't understand here how they became so deeply full of prema for Lord Krishna. Just by associating with the cowherd girls and the flower girls and the other associates of the Lord in, living in Braja, they came to be absorbed in hearing and chanting of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes, activities of the Supreme Lord. So long ago, there was also one occurrence where there was an instruction by the representatives of the Lord from the fifth canto, I believe. And the Vishnu Duta said, simply by once chanting the holy names of Narayan, this Brahman has come to be freed from all the reactions of sinful life. If one chants the holy name of the Lord, even a glimpse of such chanting, he can immediately be freed from all sinful reactions. This chanting of the glories of the Lord's holy name awakens all good fortune. So the Brahmins understood what had happened for their wives, how they were transformed and now fixed in Krishna prema. And they also have been analyzing, in this verse, their previous apparent qualifications as Brahmins. how they had undergone so many purificatory rites, lived as brahmacharis, serving the spiritual master, austerities, study the nature of the absolute truth, perform cleanliness, and so many rituals. But they missed the point. They were not able to achieve the goal, which is to serve Krishna favorably. So, this is also, in a way, an instruction for us that we are performing so many activities and part of our Krishna consciousness. And the point of these activities is not just the activities in themselves or to achieve some piety or peace and happiness, but rather to develop love for Krishna. And it's a real purpose. So, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur further indicates that these Brahmins are lamenting. We can see in a previous verse, especially, that they're lamenting that they were acting, meant to act as spiritual masters. But they didn't understand things properly. They were influenced by Maya. And therefore, they could not recognize Krishna. Whereas their wives had developed the symptoms of deep love, symptoms of ecstasy. They had trembling, tears falling from their eyes, hairs standing on end. They were speaking in choked voices, calling out to Krishna, "O pleasure of my life, O Krishna." So these Brahmins, they actually saw Krishna, and they recognized him to be the Jagat Guru, the universal teacher. And he had been right before them in Vrindavan, but they had not recognized him. But their wives had developed love for Krishna as their teacher and as their spiritual master. So they had attained this perfection, and by that love they have broken all their material attachments to wife, to family, the home, everyone, and they simply wanted to give everything to Krishna. They wanted to devote themselves completely to Krishna. They wanted to stay with Krishna and not leave him. So, as was mentioned at the end of the previous verse, purport, text 43, the husbands, the Brahmins, they now recognize that due to their great devotion, advancement, detachment, that their wives, they would no longer see them as women or as their wives, but rather they were their spiritual masters. They were teaching them how to be devotees. There was a different but related example in Lord Chaitanya's time, where there was one young boy, and he was worshipping Krishna very nicely. And then when the father came in front of Lord Chaitanya, he asked the father, in the presence of the boy, "Who is the father and who is the son?" And the father answered, "Actually, my son is the teacher and I am his student." So this position of teacher, spiritual master is not limited by some mundane arrangement, but rather it supersedes everything. When love of God is awakened, all other criteria become secondary. So these verses are not simply about positions of men and women, but they're about prema, developing love for Krishna. And also about the importance of getting the mercy of devotees, especially the residents of Vrindavan, and getting the mercy of Lord Krishna. So as we look at this particular verse, we can see that these Brahmins are lamenting. They're lamenting their position. Now, normally, according to Srila Rupa Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, lamentation is not good for devotional service. We have to rise above lamentation. But that lamentation is referred to be given up as lamentation of a material loss of the loved one, parent, child, friend. That kind of lamentation has to be overcome. But here, this lamentation was their lamentation for not being Krishna conscious. So this is very helpful. They're lamenting that they missed a great opportunity to come and be engaged directly in the service of the Lord. So, I have a question. Does anyone recall any other similar lamentations mentioned in the Bhagavatam? Different personalities who have lamented their mistakes, their situation of not worshipping Krishna properly. Yes, Mati. Who's that? Dhruva Maharaj. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Mati. Bharat Maharaj, definitely. Definitely Bharat Maharaj, he lamented for two lifetimes. Anyone else? Lord Brahma. And perhaps Ajamil? Yes? Arjuna also laments. And even also another great devotee is Dhruva Mangala Thakur. He lamented his position. So, this is actually, to me, it's an indication that these Brahmins did get the mercy of Krishna. Because they had a wake-up call. You're engaged in so many pious activities, spiritual activities, but you're missing the point. You're intending to be devotees, Krishna, but you haven't developed love. You're missing the goal. Just as these other examples are there, Judd Bharat, he lamented greatly in his next life. He was very severely affected by his mistakes. He had to take a birth as a deer. So this lamentation can be very positive. Because the wives, they saw, had gotten something very, very high. They had gotten Krishna Prema. That is the perfection of all life. And they're wondering, how did we miss? How is it we're taking ourselves to be devotees, and yet we missed this point? We had the direct opportunity and we missed it. Of course, they didn't understand the great opportunities their wives have had. And hopefully they themselves will get more opportunities in the future. But this is still Krishna's mercy on them, because rather than remain in their position ignoring Krishna and simply criticizing their wives for going out, they recognized the reality, the truth of this situation. So many of us also may have gone through some kind of experience, what they call like an epiphany, a change, a moment where things change dramatically in our lives. Many of us who were not born in this movement obviously had some moment where lives changed in contact with the devotees, contact with the holy name, contact with Srila Prabhupada's books. And we realize my life is going in the wrong direction. I need to take to devotional service. So many of us have had that experience perhaps at one time. And even now we may see, perhaps in some cases, maybe not so much those here in the direct audience, but maybe others, We may see a family member or friend who seems to be advancing more in Krishna consciousness. And we're wondering how that they have gotten so advanced and I'm also performing and I haven't advanced so much. So Krishna doesn't abandon his devotees. He intervenes in our lives to show the light, to show us the proper direction. And we have to just wake up and open our eyes and see what the opportunity is, see what the message is Krishna is giving us. So even the Brahmins didn't get Krishna prema at this point in time, still they got some mercy from Krishna so that they can refocus and get back on the right path and realize that they were not going in the right direction. Spending so much time and yet not making the progress. Now sometimes there may also be sort of a false lamentation. Someone may come and take advantage of this kind of mood of like, I haven't advanced enough. And say, oh, Prabhupada did not give us everything. Or Prabhupada meant something different from what you are doing. But this is method of someone who is cheating, wants to take you off the safe and guaranteed path. So we must become trained and educated. So enough so that we do not falsely try to take help from such persons who would direct us away from the path Srila Prabhupada has given us and take up a false proposal. So we have to be also aware that these things can happen. But going back to the point we were discussing, when one gets this wake-up call, what do you do next? What is the next step when the light suddenly goes on? You start again. Try to do it right. Follow Srila Prabhupada. No shortcuts. Find your faith like the Brahmins did in Krishna and build on it by following the process of sadhana bhakti and executing regularly, step by step. Daily, taking advantage of the mercy and the opportunities that we are given, whether it is during japa or during the day, or at any point when it happens, when we see we're not strictly giving full attention, full effort to the devotion of Lord Krishna, then we have to set ourselves back on the path. Whether it's during our japa or so many other times, or if we see someone who seems they perhaps are not rightly focused, and gently try to wake them up and give them some advice, some help, which they may deeply appreciate. Because Maya is very strong in this material world. As the Brahmins are admitting, that Maya covered over them even though they were trying to act as spiritual masters. Her purpose, her power, is to cover us and throw us far away from Krishna. She has that specific empowerment by Krishna. So we need to take help. We need to look and study what others do that make a difference, that help their Krishna consciousness, that I could apply and I could use the examples in the scriptures. And the main cause here for the advancement of the wife was hearing and chanting about Krishna. That is most powerful. So we can ask ourselves, are we doing enough? Are we doing this frequently enough? And if we get in this mood of lamentation that others have got the Lord's mercy more than I have, maybe we can see that that also is the mercy of the Lord. trying to reach out and help us make further progress. Rather than simply lament our condition and not take advantage. So we may think, perhaps, that I am reading Prabhupada's books. I read every day for 15 minutes, 30 minutes. But really, I read and not much has changed. Not much has happened after that reading. So perhaps that's a signal we have to go deeper. Deeper into our study. And try to understand what kind of reading and chanting is not casual. Reading and chanting, because, as the saying goes, casual can result in casualty. But rather, we should try to study very seriously and perform our devotional activities very seriously, very deeply, with a purpose behind our hearing and behind our chanting. Not to stay on the superficial level, but to understand the messages that are coming, to contact Krishna more deeply, to awaken our dormant Krishna consciousness, and to understand the scriptures from many different angles, to understand how to apply it in my life, and to open new doors of meaning and application that open up as we study with great depth. So there is another quote, this time by the Yamadutas, speaking about Ajamil. He said, "While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord. Although the chanting was directed towards his son, he nevertheless returned home and back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead?" So let me stop here and ask, are there any comments or questions or additions? Yes, Dharmaraj Guru. Oh, we don't have someone to take the mic.
So, Srila Prabhupada would say that we should always see things on the bright side. So, with that in mind, like I've been following the trend of the classes for the past, you know, on this topic, and the general trend is that the in this pastime that the women are more qualified than the men, or the wives are more qualified. So to see things on the bright side is what I want to point out, is that these brahmanas, they were also very qualified in the sense that they were able to recognize Krishna as the Supreme Lord. As even Queen Kunti pointed out, that that it takes that particular intelligence to understand. We find that in the Mahabharata, as would come up later on, when Krishna grew up, there were so many millions of personalities there. There were so many people that were touched in Krishna's lives, but they didn't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality. So these brahmanas, even though they didn't get it on the first strike, but they had the right intelligence, as Lord Chaitanya pointed out, as being described of Lord Chaitanya's prediction in the 11th canto, Krishna Varnam to say Krishnam, that one who is endowed with the sufficient intelligence, they would understand. So these brahmanas, they were extremely qualified in that sense, that even though on the first strike, they didn't recognize Krishna, but they were intelligent enough, because there's a saying that an intelligent person takes good instructions even if it's given by a fool, or in this case, even if it's given by someone who supposedly are under their care or their disciples per se, as described in previous verses, that the brahmanas, they were supposed to be the gurus of the wives. But in this case, it was turned around. So with that sharp intelligence that they had, and they were fortunate enough, so they were also very qualified, because unless one is qualified, they can never recognize Krishna, whether on first strike, second strike, or how many. I just want to point it out.
Thank you. Any other question or point?
Well, you mentioned entering deeper into our reading. Do you have any practical suggestions on how to do that?
I know Lakshmimoni is quite expert at all these topics. She is a great teacher of the VIHE, Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. And she knows all the different elements and secrets. So I wouldn't pretend to speak unless she was first explaining to us.
Do you do anything in your own life?
That I gave the other day, I gave different ways to look at the Shastra. And I think that if we take the time to look at the Shastra from many different angles, actually, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu came out with a book, and his book is called From All Angles of Vision. And he talks about, and he has like, I don't know how many, maybe 25 essays that he wrote over many years that look at different topics from all angles. And it's interesting to note that to really understand the Shastra deeply, or anything, even not just the Shastra, to understand Krishna consciousness deeply, one has to look at it from all angles of vision. One has to discuss it with the other devotees and hear from the other devotees and hear with an open mind and humility, and in that way, and practice, because it comes from in the heart also. So, it, you know, if you get it from all angles of vision, and you get the sustenance from all places, and it becomes a dynamic process.
Thank you.
That's all I can say.
I would also say that studying, sometimes like we'll see a verse referred to in the purport. So I find that it helpful to go to that verse, read that verse in purport, and see how that shines a specific light on a certain aspect of it, of the what the message Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam are given. Or you may see, as we did here, we understand that these Brahmins are lamenting, so they miss something. So others have also gone. It seems to be maybe a, a sub-theme in the Bhagavatam that there's this lamentation that results in a change of heart. So to see how that's presented in other places and how that may be valuable. Sometimes just to see if this verse is quoted in other places. And then look at the theme of the particular chapter, particular section, and how this verse fits in that theme. And of course, you know there's 10 different subject matters presented in the Bhagavatam. So which subject is being presented here, or many subjects of the 10. I don't know if that in any way helps. Did you have any of your own? First let's let him finish before we'll...
No, I was just going to mention that giving class is a good way to inspire us to read, because you really have to focus on a particular topic and research it, and you tend not to fall asleep as we do sometimes when we're just reading along, but you're actually looking for something and trying to get information. So more devotees could be giving classes, they would find that it's a really good way to focus your attention when you're studying.
It is, and you focus not only on that verse, but then if you really study, you'll focus on the whole chapter, and try to understand what is happening through here and what are the messages, how they flow and lead you to this particular point. Yes, Mahabodhi.
Well, two things I thought of when discussing this. There was a story that I came across about a young boy who could not retain the shlokas that his father could about the Bhagavad Gita. And the father told him to take this dirty, filthy coal basket and go down to the river and fetch him a basket of water. So the son went down to the river and he put the coal basket into the river, and by the time he got back up to the house again, the basket was, of course, empty. The father continued to tell him to go to the river and fill the basket and bring him water, you know, and the son said, "I can't do this. Can I get a pail, please?"
Hare Krishna. Uh-oh. Mother Nita, something has happened. One of the books. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So to make a long story short, when the son, lamented that he couldn't bring, him a basket of water, the father said, "Well, then look at the basket." And the basket, by all the water going through it, had been cleaned. So retention is not so much important as just reading, because by reading, the mind will be cleansed.
That's also true, yeah. Just making that effort, not ignoring it or avoiding it or forgetting it. Okay, Dharmaraj, and these two. Oh, wait.
Prabhupada has always referred to us as a highly mobilized army, field soldier, by learning something, it's repetition, repetition, repetition. He breaks down his gun, he puts it together, repetition. That's how he learns, just repetition.
So then he can do it with his eyes closed. I think Don Raj was first. Oh, okay, sorry. You used your first chance.
Yes, Prabhu, thank you for a nice class. I was thinking about the question that Nagaraj had spoke to ask you. And in terms of the, I know Bhaktisiddhanta Swami, he says that, to go deeper into sastra, we should give class and things like that. And for some devotees, I'm like one of them who feels they're not qualified for that yet. We should, and for devotees who feel that way, they should give classes at home for their, for small groups and practice. And then when they get to a point where they feel confident or whatever, then they could give class, But giving class, and also I want to also reiterate what Mother Lakshmimoni says, different, having the association of devotees, giving class and hearing different views is always important to assimilate the knowledge that we get.
Thank you.
I had an interesting experience last night. I was staying at Radha Gopinath and Tapasvini's house. On Wednesdays, they have a small group that come to their house, and they just read. They started with the Nectar Devotion. They went all the way through it. And then now they're on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so they read for 1 hour. There's no prasadam. There's no pressure for anything additional. It's just a reading program. And everyone goes around, read a verse, paragraph. And I found that in that experience, I was more focused in my reading. As there's people around you. And then I got a lot more out of it, too, because I was more concentrated in the reading. And as a result of that, hopefully when I get back home, my wife and I will start something similar, a reading program, just an hour a week. It was very inspiring.
Very nice. Thank you.
So, I was just going to mention what Krishna suggested in Bhagavad Gita about learning that in the fourth chapter, Tadvini Pranipatena Paripasmena Sivaya, that that learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. So one of my understandings of that verse is like when we're studying, we should also be meditating on the spiritual master and pray for his mercy to give us the proper understanding to understand these scriptures. And if you're fortunate enough to have him physically present, then we can directly ask questions or take guidance from other senior devotees in understanding subject matters. And that can be very helpful for us to understand these subject matters and also able to speak as, you know, being a speaker in class. That's my suggestion.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else? Any ladies said something? Girls? Yes? Anyone? Yeah, I'll go. Oh, wait, Mom, I wants to make the point something.
Looking ahead a few verses, I know that these brahmanas ended up not being able to actually totally surrender because they were afraid of Kamsa.
Yes.
I can't remember exactly what it says, but...
They were afraid that if they surrendered to Krishna, that Kamsa would come and punish them or kill them. So they still maintained a fear which wasn't present in their wives. But that'll be discussed more later. So I just wanted to end here with a final purport here from the fifth canto, chapter 2, wherein Prabhupada says, this is the fifth canto, chapter 8, text 29. Prabhupada says at the end, he's talking about Bharat Maharaj. Krishna teaches us Krishna teaches us that we must be careful in the discharge of devotional service. If we want to keep our minds completely fixed without deviation, we must engage them in devotional service full time. As far as the members of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna Consciousness movement. Yet they must take a lesson from the life of Bharat Maharaj to be very cautious and to see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating. Eating is not prohibited, but if we eat voraciously, we shall certainly sleep more than required. Sense gratification ensues, and we may be degraded to a lower form of life. In that way, our spiritual progress may be checked, at least for the time being. Best course is to take advice of Srila Rupa Goswami, of Yartho Kalatvam. We should see that every moment of our lives is utilized for rendering devotional service and nothing else. This is a secure position for one wanting to return home back to Godhead. Jai, all glories to you, Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.
I'll bring it up later. Now, just one point, you know, you're talking about the future verses and the Brahmanas being afraid of Kamsa, but didn't the Brahmanas, a few verses back, realize that family life was the cause of death?
They said that.
Between a rock and a hard place?
Saying it and realizing it may not be exactly the same thing. Thank you. Jaya, glorious Kishula Prabhupada.